This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Van harte welkom bij Out of Power, een programma voor jongeren en ouderen.
Het allereerste wat ik wil zeggen is: God houdt van je.
Life gets better when you get better.
Van harte welkom bij Out of Power. Het is een bijzondere uitzending en ik weet dat iedereen zal genieten. Een paar weken geleden hadden we het Hour of Power live event. En we hebben een registratie gemaakt in de Basiliek in Veenendaal van een van de drie geweldige avonden waar zoveel enthousiaste Hour of Power kijkers waren. Bijna 4000. En ik hoop dat u zult genieten en jij zult genieten van een indringende toespraak van Bobby Schuller. Met als thema: je bent bestemd voor meer. Bestemd voor meer. Gideon Roberts en Meredith Molden zijn de worshipleiders en die zingen prachtige liederen. En het bekende Ademproject werkt ook mee. Ik denk en hoop dat iedereen uitbundig zal genieten van deze registratie.
Joyful we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, fill thee as the sun above.
Yeah. Oh, joy. Joy in my soul. Joy in my soul.
Van harte welkom bij Hour of Power Live. En wat een feest om al die blijde gezichten hier te zien. Ik ben ongelooflijk blij dat u hier bent. En vanavond gaat het over dit thema, bestemd voor meer. Nou, ben je nou bestemd voor een grotere carrière, een mooier huis, meer salaris of andere dingen van het leven? Of ben je bestemd voor God, Gods bestemming? En daar gaat Bobby vanavond over spreken, waarvoor wij bestemd zijn. Het is leuk natuurlijk als we hier als grote familie zitten, als Hour of Power. Want zo voelen we het toch, hè? De familie Hour of Power. Ja, oké. Okay. Ik zou zeggen, ga even staan en groet de buren achter je, voor je, die je nog niet gezien hebt. En wens ze heel veel zegen toe.
Zeg, hey,
hey,
oh,
oh,
wat jij creatie. Buig voor de eeuwige God.
Zegen aanbidding.
Zegen aanbidding.
Kracht
overwinning. Ieder zij de eeuwige God.
Laat elke natie.
Laat elke natie.
Elke creatie.
Elke creatie.
Bobby and Hannah, would you please be so kind? Come on stage. Yes. What I want to ask you both is, very briefly, what is your hope for the Netherlands? Because you're from Dutch descent.
I'll let Hannah go first. I have my own hope.
My hope for the Netherlands is the same hope I have for all of God's people. Being the Bible Belt, or being the place where all the churches are, is it's a powerful, very powerful place to be. And I feel like the Lord is moving in his people right now and stirring the bride. And my big prayer is that God would unite us in heart, and that we would love each other deeply. And the Bible says they'll know you by your love for one another. So tonight I even pray, Lord, unite us and make us love each other as one family. And I think as the bride, the body of Christ, does that, it will impact, it will have an impact on the whole globe,
thank
the whole
you,
world.
Anna.
Yeah,
that's the right response. That's what I believe too. I think that that's what she said. She said it. Perfect. I really think, I mean, I was saying this yesterday, and I'll say it again in my sermon, I think revival's coming to Europe, and I think it's coming through Holland.
I hope so.
I really believe it. And I think it's going to happen first through unity in the Dutch church. And there's only one thing that can unite us, and it's the same person that's always united us. It's Jesus Christ. we can agree on Jesus, and that's enough to preach the gospel. And I think that's an exciting thing, because I think the Lord is already doing it. He's already decided to do it. It's already happening, whether we want him to or not. He's going to do it. Amen?
Bobby, okay. Would you lead us in prayer?
Yeah, I will. Father, we thank you that you've gathered your people together in a holy place for a holy cause, to minister first to the Lord. We're here, God, to minister to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the only thing that happens tonight is that we touch your heart and you receive our praise, it was enough. The Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our dream for tonight, is that no matter what happens, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified and that we would enjoy you, God. We do enjoy you and we love you. We're here for you, God. It's in Jesus' name. Soften our hearts. Prepare us for the word of God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving ceases. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Will you stand with me? In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save.
tell him thank you.
And I just shared your love for people, and not for a big audience, but also very personal. What you did yesterday was, to me, amazing. You were praying in the rain with people that needed prayer. Why do you do that?
I had an experience with the Lord. The Lord healed me about 4.5 years ago, and I've gotten to see so many healings that I can't be the same. I cannot be the same after that. And so I actually love praying with people for healing. And so it was fun to see some cool things happen last night as we prayed. And so, yeah, to me, it's a joy, and to me, it's an honor. And it's something that burns inside of me. And so, yes, but.
When I look in your eyes, and I know your eyes for about 25 years, there's always such a sprinkle of joy. Where comes the joy from?
Thank you. Well, definitely from the Lord, but I think it's so interesting that you can be a Christian your entire life, and God can always take you further with him, and he can always take you deeper with him. And there is, like, that's so fun about God, is there's no ceiling. He's limitless. It's like the degree that we want to go with him. And so it's just been so fun, like the places that I feel like I've, even being Christian from little, I've done ministry my whole life, but have experienced God in even new ways in the last 4 years.
Yeah. I see a picture of the whole family now.
Okay.
And can you share with us the story of Cohen?
Yeah. For some of you might not know, because you might be newer to the program, but Cohen was born with polymicrogyra, which is extra divots in the brain, which causes delay and seizures and that type of stuff. We went through a really rough time when he was little. And again, by the Lord's grace, the Lord has saved his life like 2 or 3 different times. And even since we've been standing on the word of God for his healing, even seeing things that we've never seen in him before. So we're just thankful to the Lord, and we're believing God and knowing that God has great things and healing for his life. So.
Er is iemand die het licht doet schijnen in de nacht. Er is iemand die alles vormde toen hij sprak. Iemand die het hele universum is ontstaan. Hij die maan en sterren schiep, de oceaan zo diep. Hij ziet jou staan. Hij die ons tot leven riep, zijn adem in ons blies. Groter is dan elke stem. Er is iemand dwars door elke leugen kijkt. God van het begin en het eind. Hij zal er altijd zijn.
Hij die maan en sterren schiep, de oceaan zo diep. Hij ziet jou staan.
Hij is iemand die moeilijkheden niet ontwijkt.
How are y'all doing? Praise the Lord. What do you think about my beard? Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. It's my beard. It's not yours. Are you ready to hear the preaching of the Word of God? Some people have said the church has changed, and Bobby, you've changed, and boy, is that true. I'll tell you what changed is I started reading the Bible more. It all started with a silly TikTok video. Don't blame me, blame TikTok. I saw this video of a guy that said, what if we read our Bibles as much as we were on our phones? And it was a joke, you know? He's like standing at McDonald's with his Bible. He's working out at the gym with his Bible. He's driving his car like this and going like this. He's driving down the road. And I looked at Hannah, I said, I'm gonna do that. I mean, I was already reading my Bible every day, but I decided I was just gonna go Genesis to Revelation over and over and over. And I do that. I read my Bible at the gym. I read it in line at Starbucks. I read it in the car. When I'm waiting, I always have it with me. And I don't care if it's weird. I don't care if people see me. And I'm telling you, it began to do something in me. The Word of God will change your life. You treat it like bread. I'll tell you something. America does not have good bread. Can I get an amen from the Dutch? It's one of the worst things. If you're in Holland, you got to go to, you bring your own bread. I don't know what it is about our bread. It stinks. It's the worst. But this is a bread that will never run out. And who says, you know, when you offer them bread, oh, I already ate that type of bread a year ago. No, you eat bread every day in Holland, don't you? Some of you do. Some of you are gluten. This is gluten-free. So I began to eat the Word of God, and it reminded me of what my life was like before I went to seminary. I praise God I went to seminary. I got an MDiv from one of the most prestigious seminaries in the world. I graduated at the top of my class. I was invited to give the speech to the MDiv students. This was before I was a part of Hour of Power. I had papers published. I was very proud of my academic time. But before that, I had seen God move in powerful ways. I'll tell you some of those stories in a bit. Let's begin here. If you know the answer right off the bat, don't answer, okay? But if you want to take a guess, go for it. How many churches are there in Holland? It's a good question, huh? How many do you think? Hey, you guys in the front row, how many churches are there in Holland? Did you catch that? How many churches are there in Holland? There's one church. Hello? Guess how many churches there are in Orange County? Okay, the front row is getting it over here because they all go to our church. How many churches are there in Orange County? Just guess. How many? There's one church. How many churches are there on earth? How many? Okay, there is one church, one faith, one baptism, the scripture says. Amen. Is that true or false? Okay. Now here's another question. How many churches have there been in history? How many? Okay. That's right, Gideon. See, you got, follow General Gideon. If I ask a question, answer, okay? How many churches are there in history, do you think? One. So is the one church on earth today the same as the one church that existed a year ago? Is it the same church or a different church? It's the same. Okay, is it the same church as 100 years ago? Is it the same church as 300 years ago? Okay, is it the same church as 1,000 years ago? Is it the same church as 2,000 years ago? It is. This is so important for you to understand. There is no early church, medieval church, modern church. Okay, there is one church that is seated with Christ. It was seated with him 2,000 years ago. It is still seated with him. It was given power and authority 2,000 years ago. It still has power and authority. When you were baptized into the church, and the church is Christ. Okay? This is orthodox. The church is Christ. Jesus is the head, and the church is the shoulders, knees, and toes. And yeah, we say we can't have a body without the head, but sometimes I wonder if the head is saying, I have a paralyzed body. In the first century, it was buff. It was squatting 400 pounds. Huh? It was running marathons. Now Jesus is saying, my arms and legs don't move. Oh, you can laugh at that too. I mean, it's a joke. I'm trying not to be too serious today. But I want you to hear that the same church today is the same church of your grandparents, and it's the same church of the ancients, the same church of Paul, Peter, John, and Mary. Amen? That's good news. We are the early church. We just forgot. You are in the early church. All we lack is faith. 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Who's that? Is that written to the 12 apostles? No. Is it written to you? Who here eagerly desires the gifts of the Spirit? Okay, a few of you. That's good. Especially what? A prophecy. Is this a word of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 14, does that count as part of the Bible? Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Praise the Lord. Friends, I could do verses like the, I could do like 100 of these. But churches close their Bibles when they get to these verses. Or they say, the terrible hermeneutic, not for today. Not for today. Because you see, there's two churches, according to them. There's today's church, and then there's the early church. Hogwash. Hogwash. We are seated with Christ. We are full of the Holy Spirit. These promises are true today as they were when they were spoken. Let me tell you why not for today is such a bad hermeneutic. If the scripture doesn't say not for today, and it doesn't, then you can apply the not for today philosophy to anything you want in the New Testament. And how many of you know many churches are applying it to other things, like morals, not for today, like church order, not for today. You can say not for today about John 3:16 if you want. Or you can take the not for today hermeneutic and call it what it is, hogwash, and throw it in the trash where it belongs. I like Gabriel's hermeneutic. Gabriel said to Mary, no word from God will ever fail. The key word there is ever. That's time. No word from God will ever fail. If God said it, it stays. And we need a church to believe, to believe, to believe. To not be all about mysticism and stuff, but to be full of God's life. That when we pray for the sick, we believe for the sick. That we don't pretend like there's no demons anymore, which they're everywhere. That we don't forget that we are in a war. A war. Now, amen. Brother Derek Prince, my favorite preacher, says, the whole of church history is 1,800 years of trying to come up with a system so safe we don't need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And it seems like every time there's a great move of the Holy Spirit, as the generation that was met and moved with the Holy Spirit, they crystallize that move into a tradition, and then the Holy Spirit leaves. Did you know the organ, by the way, which I love the organ. The organ originally was not allowed in churches because it was too secular. Isn't that funny? Seems like the most sacred instrument. Anyway, I digress. Anybody love the organ here? I do too. Okay, declare after me. We believe God. We need the Holy Spirit. And say this very loud. We are the early church. Amen. My theology was greatly impacted. I grew up in a wonderful Dutch Reformed church. I'm still a Dutch Reformed pastor. I'm ordained Dutch Reformed, serving in a Presbyterian church. Presbyterian is Scottish Reformed, so we share same creeds and confessions, and pastors can go between the two. So Scottish and Dutch Reformed. And traditionally, even though a lot of Reformed churches do not like the spiritual gifts, the truth is that the Reformed church does not deny the spiritual gifts. I was telling Jan this today. One of my old mentors said that the Reformed church, at least in America, that the Reformed church believes in the spiritual gifts. They just terrify us and we never do them. And I love the church I grew up in. It was my father's church. It was a Crystal Cathedral church plant in San Juan. And it had a beautiful choir and robes. And I remember taking my first communion. I was baptized as a baby. We loved all of the confessions and the many beautiful hymns. And it gave me a great foundation. But we really didn't see miracles happen in our church. We saw some miracles in the sense, like, the greatest miracle of all time, which is someone being saved. Praise the Lord. There's nothing better than that. But not like the thing I'm about to tell you. I went on a missionary trip to Thailand. And while we were there, it was kind of like a YWAM type group. It was called Teen Mania. They're not around anymore. But I remember every morning we would get up and we would, for every teenager, I was 15, actually turned 16 while I was there. Every teenager had to wake up and have a personal quiet time for 1 hour. Then we would get breakfast, and then we would get together and worship and minister to the Lord. So before we ever go out, there's really 2 hours devoted just to worship and prayer. Isn't that wonderful? And then we would go out and we would pray, and we began to see incredible signs. It started slow, actually, but by the middle and end of the trip, it became so commonplace that it almost became boring to see a scientific miracle, we might call it, something that's not deniable. And I remember, pretty vividly, that we were in this marketplace. As many years ago, I think Thailand has changed since then, but this is in the 90s. And there's a marketplace, like in the shape of a rectangle, and we were ministering to a father and son who had a little market, and the son, who was maybe in his 20s, couldn't walk. He was paralyzed from the waist down, and he would sell his wares, and then at the end of the day, he would scoot back to his bed, and he would lay down on his bed. And they would send us out in these groups of three to go and share the gospel. So it was me and a friend, we were teenagers, and they sent us with an adult, a woman who was 18 years old. And I remember thinking, wow, she's so old, you know, like, oh man, she's just like a real woman. And she was our leader, you know, our fearless leader. And I remember we were sharing the gospel with this father and the son who couldn't walk. And we had a translator in Thai. And the father, when we were done, said, "Can you pray for my son?" And the Holy Spirit came upon this girl, Rebecca, this 18-year-old. And again, I just want to say, I do not agree with what she's about to do. I mean, I still to this day, I don't like even saying it because I don't want somebody else to do it. But I think the Lord spurred her on. She looks at this man and she goes, "I want to tell you that we're going to pray for you right now. And if you're not healed, this gospel we preached is false. There is no God. And everything we said was a lie." And I go, "Whoa, no, hold on." You know, as I'm like, what? And she goes, "In the name of Jesus, I pray." And then the second she touches him, she doesn't even say a prayer. This skinny guy goes, "Wah!" He kind of stands up like this, starts screaming. And everybody goes, "Whoa!" Like, whoa. He stands up, he's screaming and starts to like jump up and down. We don't know what's going on because he's shouting something in Thai. The father is completely like stunned, like a deer in headlights. And he begins to jump up around in this marketplace. They all know him. So this big crowd and all this chaos begins to form. And how many of you know that changed my theology a little bit? I didn't know what to do with that. I still don't know what to do with what she said. I just thought, oh my gosh. And as we're standing around, we spent hours there in this market. It's very hot, but we began just preaching the gospel. And many of the people there came to know the Lord. Actually, on that trip, thousands of people were saved. And so we came home from Thailand. It was a 2-month journey with many miracles where we saw tumors disappear, and we prayed for rain and it started raining, and so many other wonderful things. And then, you know, I got home and we did other things. I did other mission trips. And as I got older, I became a pastor and I went to seminary. And like I said, I had this great education. And when I got that education, and I think what I got was a bunch of excuses about why God doesn't really do stuff like that anymore. Or maybe he does it in places like Thailand, but he doesn't do it here. How many of you you don't raise your hand, but you've maybe thought that before. God does stuff like that in places like Thailand or Africa, but he would never do it in a place like the Netherlands or a place like Los Angeles. I don't know where we get that idea from. Like, is it a different God? I think in my mind, I thought, well, because they're maybe a little bit more pagan or Buddhist or something, that maybe they're more mystical, or maybe they need it more because people here believe the word. Let me tell you why it happened in Thailand. It happened in Thailand because we believed God. We believed God. We just believed. That's one of the gifts of being a teenager. You're not given a bunch of excuses about why you shouldn't believe God. We read the word, we proclaimed the word, we saw God move in miracles. Amen. And the same God who was in Thailand and the same gospel that needed to be preached there needs to be preached here and needs to be preached in Los Angeles. Amen. And God has given us his Holy Spirit and power to operate in victory. Faith is important. Amen. It's really important, and it's really important to the Master. It's really important to our Lord. It's arguably the main thing that he's confronting his disciples on. Finish this sentence for me. It's in the Bible many, many times, every time he's talking to his disciples, O you of little... Notice how he doesn't ever say, O you of little effort. O you of little knowledge. O you of little prayer. Oh, you of little love? Are these things important? Absolutely, but maybe they hinge on something. Love is for sure the highest. The Bible's very clear that love is the most important virtue for a believer, for sure. But I don't think you can truly love the way God loves if you don't have faith. How do you love your enemies if you don't believe God? It takes a lot of faith. So faith is important. Faith is what saves us. Faith is the way that miracles happen. Faith is the way that the gospel is preached. Faith is the way that a church is turned around. Faith is the way that you're going to save your kids. Romans 14 says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That's wild, isn't it? I was talking to a guy in LA who was an MMA fighter and not a Christian. And I was telling him, I believe that there's a gigantic demonic principality over Los Angeles. And the funny thing is, he did not disagree with me. He's like, I think that's true. Interesting. Non-Christians can sense supernatural power, that there's things going on. And he said, okay, if there's this big demonic demon over Los Angeles that's causing all of this harm, why doesn't he's talking about Jesus, why doesn't he just knock him out? Why doesn't he knock him out? And you can apply that question to all the evil things that you see in the world. Why doesn't God just knock it out? Why doesn't he just like fix it? And I told him, he will. He's coming back. And he's coming back soon. And he will take out all of those principalities and all of that evil. He's going to take it all out. Praise God. But the problem is, when he takes it out, some are going up and some are going down. Forever. The scripture tells us the reason that the Lord tarries is because of the precious fruit of the earth. So we have to, in a way, abide some of the evil that's on earth in order to buy us more time to preach the gospel, that more would be saved. Amen. It's for the sake of the gospel. And then I told him, but guess what? There's somebody else who can knock him out. Guess who can knock him out? Raise your hand if you think you can knock him out. I agree with you. This is who can knock him out, the church. The church. We are the fist of Jesus, amen? We're the shoulders, knees, and toes. We are the boot of Jesus, amen? But we've been paralyzed because we don't have faith. We've been blinded. We don't have eyes to see that there are demons and angels. There's good and evil. There's heaven and hell. There's right and wrong. We've been blinded. Not anymore. We believe your word, God. We believe the word of God. We believe it. We are at war, friends. And you need to take up your sword and get into the fight. Time to go to war. Amen? It's an easy war if you have faith. It's really easy, actually. God's will is not what you see. It's what you read. We walk by faith, not by sight. That means we don't walk by what we see. We walk by what the word says. Amen. If you see something that's not in the Bible, you can point it and say, that's not God's will. You go. That is not God's will. Go. And when you pray with authority. Amen. There's this thing in us every time we believe that says, no, you don't. Or like where we go in with 100% belief and then we 10% pull back. Not good. I used to pray, there's a story where a man with an epileptic son asked Jesus to heal him with tears in his eyes. And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. There it is again. But it starts with if. If you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. And the man responds with, I believe. And then he says, help me with my unbelief. So he comes out very strong, I believe, and then there's something inside of him that says like, oh, but I don't know. Not good, amen? Don't pray, don't ever pray, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Here's how you pray, I believe. Stop right there. Let's say it together. I believe. See, there's power in that. Don't kill the faith with your words, amen? Martha, rather, when Jesus comes after her brother Lazarus dies, she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have been saved. Even so, I know that whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you. In other words, she's saying, I know you can raise him from the dead. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Now, that would be good news, right? And she then, instead of saying amen or I believe, she says something very pious that sounds like something Christians today would say. She says, I know he will rise again in the last days of the resurrection of the dead, right? Basically saying, I know he'll be raised because he's in heaven. And what does Jesus say? Yes, that's very good, Martha. Yes, very good. Someday. One day. No. See, she killed her. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Lazarus, come forth. By the way, have you ever noticed that Jesus never prays for the sick once in any gospel? He never prays for them. There's not one example. He always just tells them what to do. Lazarus, come forth. Pick up your mat and walk. Same thing with the disciples. Silver and gold have I not. Rise up and walk. Now, we should pray for the sick, but we need to pray with that commanding, So it's good to pray, but pray with the power. Okay, I'll finish with this. Who wants to know what God's will is for your life? This guy back there, awesome. Okay. Here are the things that I think are God's will. Number one is the most important thing, that we repent and that we believe the gospel and that we live a holy life by the Spirit of God. I think every Christian believes that. And if you don't believe that, then everything else I'm about to say doesn't matter. But here are some other things that the scripture says is God's will. It is God's will to heal your body. It is God's will for you to perform miracles as a part of your Christian walk. It is God's will to provide you with plenty of food and clothing for your long, abundant life. It is God's will to give you victory in your battles. It is God's will to give you freedom from addiction, depression, and anxiety, which is rooted in unclean spirits. It is God's will to enlarge the territory of the righteous. It is God's will to deliver you from spiritual bondage. It is God's will for you to have children if that's what you desire. It is God's will for you to have good sleep and to experience restful joy. Isn't that good news? There's more, but you got to read it. I don't want to ruin the book. You got to read it for yourself. Amen.
Geloof is horen en horen is het woord van God. Dat is waar Bobby vanavond over sprak. En daarom zijn we zo dankbaar als Hour of Power dat we al 27 jaar deze boodschap mogen laten horen. Deze boodschap van het evangelie van Jezus Christus. Hoe belangrijk is dat dat het op de Nederlandse televisie wordt verkondigd? En in deze 27 jaar hebben we dankzij Gods genade en dankzij uw steun al miljoenen mensen mogen weten te bereiken. Miljoenen mensen die normaal gesproken niet zo snel een kerk binnenstappen. Of mensen die op zondagochtend aan het zeppen zijn met een kater. Die verhalen kennen we ook. Mensen die op zondagochtend aan het zeppen zijn met een kater. En die vervolgens geraakt worden door de alles overstijgende liefde van Jezus. En dat is wat we met elkaar nog jaren willen doen. Maar daar hebben we uw steun bij nodig. Uw gebed, maar ook uw financiële steun. Televisie maken kost geld. Maar ook dit, wat we hier met elkaar doen. Dat we samen mogen komen, dat we elkaar mogen ontmoeten en dat we het geloof met elkaar mogen beleven. En daarom wil ik u vanavond in vrijmoedigheid vragen of u Hour of Power financieel wil steunen met een gift. En dat kan via de QR-code, maar u kunt Hour of Power ook structureel steunen door donateur te worden. Dus steun Hour of Power, help meebouwen en leef in zijn liefde. Dank u wel.
Ik hou mij vast. Mijn hoop en zekerheid, mijn anker van het leven, een sterke rots is Hij. Ik hou mij vast, vast aan Jezus, mijn anker van het leven, een sterke rots is Hij.
now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Into the night, wanting a place to hide his weary soul, his back above. I tried with all my might, I just can't win this fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond.
Ik ben Laurentien van Landeghem.
Ik ben Jeffrey Sarpong.
Mijn naam is Patrick van der Laan.
Ik ben Herman Haan. Ik ben theoloog, schrijver en onnoemelijk veel meer. Hour of Power is bij ons een vast gegeven op zondagochtend. We kijken er altijd met plezier naar en dan denken we, ja, mooi.
Gelukkig heb ik Gods liefde leren kennen en de redding die daarin te vinden is. Ik ben zo blij dat Hour of Power daar heel veel aandacht aan besteedt.
Hour of Power, wat een geweldige platform. Een platform waar ze het evangelie verkondigen over de hele wereld.
Wat een feest om elke keer weer opnieuw niet alleen te getuigen te zijn van Hour of Power, maar ook nu hier deel te zijn van dit mooie programma.
En tot zover deze, ik vind, indrukwekkende registratie van een avond met Bobby Schuller in het kader van Hour of Power live event in de Basiliek in Veenendaal. Na afloop en vooraf heb ik ook heel veel mensen gesproken. En wat bijzonder is om te zien hoeveel mensen meeleven met Hour of Power en wat de uitzendingen betekenen. Chris deed een oproep om donateur te worden van Hour of Power. Nou, de vakantie begint en misschien denk je van, hey, ik ga ook Hour of Power steunen. Dat kan dan met een klein bedrag. Volgende week hebben we een aantal hoogtepunten en die weken erop van Hour of Power. En dat begint met een driedelige serie van Bobby Schuller over Gods geest. En dat komt vanuit Griekenland. Ik wens iedereen een hele fijne week toe en ik hoop van harte tot volgende week.
Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power. Al onze uitzendingen zijn terug te kijken op hourofpower.nl. Hier vind je ook onze webshop. Blijf in contact met ons via social media of mail ons. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.
Life gets better when you get better. And you can get better.
If love goes through you, that thing is God, and God is love.
Gods liefde verandert levens, van jong en oud. Steun Hour of Power om deze boodschap in elke huiskamer te brengen. Ga naar hourofpower.nl en word donateur.